classic car on the corner, still calling my name, so it seems. But I can't afford you, so I'll just ignore you and drive you in my dreams. I'll drive you in my dreams. Drive you in my dreams.
Welcome to another episode of the Classic Car Corner podcast. I'm your host, Jason Painter, and tonight we welcome Colby Masterson, a CCS student who is studying automotive design. Colby, this is so cool. We're going to talk about this here in a second. I've been able to meet the chief of design of Infiniti, Nissan, and Datsun, and Eric, John, and I have spoken with Tom Peters, who's the chief of design for General Motors, who's responsible for the C6, C7, and C8. So it is great to have somebody your age getting into this, and if you don't mind, how old are you?
I'm 20.
20. Yeah. Okay, and here we are in the design scheme of things for cars.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's great.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, and so I've got some questions for you here tonight, and we're going to have some fun. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so obviously, what sparked your interest in automotive design?
Well, I've always been into cars, you know, ever since, like, really young age. Just kind of like a fixation of mine.
Matchbox, Hot Wheels.
Yeah, Hot Wheels, the movie.
It for everybody.
The Cars movie.
Yeah,
you know,
course,
I think
yeah.
I watched that, like, 100 times.
Well, see, he would have been young when the Cars movie was out, right?
Gotcha. Right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was my thing. And I've always had an interest in it. Just kind of realized over the past few years that I'd like to do a profession that, you know, kind of revolved around it.
Sure, so, yeah. And so I guess you're just sitting at the table one day looking at Mater or Lightning McQueen or what was the little Fiat? What was his name?
Luigi, right?
Luigi,
yeah.
Thinking, oh, this is pretty cool. I wonder if I should put a pen to the paper here and start drawing these things. So, yeah, that's how I got started, too. So take us through some of your classes at CCS. And what does CCS stand for?
CCS is the College for Creative Studies.
Okay. Yeah. So, now, I'm going to sound smarter than I am. I really enjoy physics, especially as it pertains to cars, from speed to acceleration to torque to aerodynamics, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, body roll, how do you increase weight, downforce, all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
So what are you what does one who designs cars or going to be designing cars, what do they study?
So I think for my kind of like branch of study and like branch of the car industry, design, from what I can understand so far in, is kind of the styling of it. When you say like the torque and the downforce and the aerodynamics, all this stuff, it definitely plays into the design of a car. You know, like if it looks fast, usually it is fast. That's kind of like the idea. If it's slippery, it's gonna be more aerodynamic, all that stuff.
Right.
But we don't really have any classes that teach aerodynamics and like the torque and all these very engineering specific things.
And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Engineering versus design, they're two different things.
Yeah, two very different things.
Gotcha. Yep.
So the curriculum at CCS so far has been design theory and, you know, what I'm in my first year. So it's, from what I've got, it's been a lot of form studies and rendering and just the design theory.
Okay.
And that's what they're kind of trying to instill in us early is design theory.
Okay.
I mean, I had one teacher, his name's Dave Smith, and he's great. He just started teaching, I should say.
Okay.
But that's his thing, is he really pushes design theory, which is a great thing. I don't think a lot of my other teachers have really been.
So I can kind of predict what the word design means.
Sure.
Theory.
Yeah.
Is it why design it this way? Is that the is that the theory side of it?
Yeah, that's kind of the theory side of it. There's, I don't know, the main thing he says, we kind of have a little joke, is like dominant and subordinate shapes.
Okay.
And it's how to blend shapes together. Like, I don't know, what shapes look appealing generally and then how to break those rules.
Okay.
And there's a lot of finesse in breaking those rules. And that's where the unique shapes, obviously, shapes, like car shapes come from.
You know?
Some very unique cars are maybe not the standard for what a good car would look like. It derives somehow, and that's where the uniqueness comes from, and that's what this guy or these teachers are trying to instill in us, is how to create these unique shapes and still keep it really attractive.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So you have a blank piece of paper and a pen in front of you.
Yeah.
What inspires the forms that you draw?
Mine, I do a lot of biomimicry. So that's...
Bio what?
Biomimicry. Yeah. That's a...
I'm looking at his parents as we're talking here. Okay. So what's that?
Biomimicry. It's a hot term in the at least car design field right now.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much it's kind of simple when you boil it down. It's looking at things that are in nature, you know, birds, fish, plants even, and taking those elements and transferring them into design.
Did you know that the Lamborghini Aventador was designed after a Japanese beetle?
Really?
Look it up.
I had not heard that one yet.
Yep. If you look down on a Lamborghini Aventador, it looks like a Japanese beetle, one of those green.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that there's one story. I know the McLaren P1.
Okay.
That one's after a marlin, just because it's one of the fastest fish. You know.
There you go.
Yep. Even it comes down to the rear view mirrors and the side mirrors. They had this issue with aerodynamic drag, and the head designer, forget his name right now, but he went to the Marlin and looked at the I forget what the word is now, but it's how it slipped through the water, and they took those forms and took that science and then put it right into the design of the side mirrors. It was interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah. So that's my first step usually, is to figure out something that relates to it in nature and then try and draw things from that.
Okay. So how many renderings have you done at this point? Just either that be casual or for school.
Right. I probably couldn't even put a number to
it. Is that right? Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, well, you know, and I'm dating myself because I still write personal checks to people. I'm sure you young folks don't. But I guess the question is, do you even use paper and pen? I'm sure, I mean, there's graph paper, there's protractors and compasses and all that good stuff. But, I mean, is it now all computerized? Well, I know it is, but, but I mean, does it really start from a piece of paper?
It really does.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about CCS. That's what I really like about CCS specifically, is they focus, the first year and a half at CCS is all traditional media. It's all paper, pen, all markers, all, even like pastels. Like 2 weeks ago, I was doing these pastel renderings. And so they don't let students touch digital. Well, they let you, but it's an extra thing if you want to do it. But they focus, and that's the requirement, is traditional media for the first year and a half, because it really instills a good sense of, like, I don't know, it's just an easier way to learn art, in my, at least my opinion, and obviously their curriculum's opinion, and that's, you know, that's how they work it.
All right.
So yeah, we've been doing a lot of traditional work, and it starts from the paper and pen. It usually ends on a paper rendering. So
right. Well, yeah. I mean, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I think one of the AMC cars back in the 70s, and I want to say it was the Gremlin. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But long story short, two guys were on an airplane, took a napkin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the AMC Gremlin was born. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of cars with that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go.
A bunch of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Okay. So what are some interesting projects you've worked on?
Let's see. My first semester, we had two main projects for Automotive Studio. One of them was a foam core section model of an F1 car that we had to design.
Okay.
And that was really cool. That was our first kind of real project there. And that was a lot of fun. And we just take foam core, you know.
Okay.
And use an X-Acto blade and cut pretty much a center line going through it.
Sure.
And we had to draw out the design, and we did all these blueprints beforehand.
Okay.
But we took the center line, made it in foam core.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would take other pieces of foam core that we would cut perpendicular to the center line and then slot them in.
Okay.
And then by the end of it, once you had all these little, you know, sections, it would come together and you'd have a F1 car. It looked like the skeleton of an F1 car.
Gotcha.
And it was really cool. If you looked at it from the back, you'd see the perfect silhouette.
Gotcha.
From the side, you'd see the side silhouette.
Yep.
But it's all kind of skeletoned out.
Gotcha.
If you look at it from the top.
There you go.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was a cool one.
Yeah, that's right. How big was it?
Oh, man. Probably 30 inches long.
Okay.
So pretty good size.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah,
now, I think it was fifth scale.
Did you finish it in any colors or anything? Or is it just the molding.
Right. No, well, I didn't personally. I did white foam core for the top, and then I did a like underplating.
Okay.
In black foam core. I don't know, just a little something.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I had some friends who went all out and they did liveries and they covered it with like a thin paper, you know, so it actually had a skin to it.
Right.
It was really cool. And they did like, you know, sponsors and all this other stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, I've noticed more and more cars without rear bumpers because I guess we're tapping into people more and more often.
Yeah.
And cars are kind of ugly if they don't have the skins on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you got all these crumple zones and all this other stuff being exposed, and some have even styrofoam bumper padding and all that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, now, what projects are you looking forward to participate in?
Well, one project that I'm kind of in the beginning stages of now, and I guess this is the future project that I'd know most about, is our cable car project.
Okay.
So this is a second semester freshman year project where we are given a prompt and that, well, we aren't given the prompt, we're supposed to make a prompt.
Okay.
For ourselves. So we have to create a problem in society. And then
there's no problems in society.
None, right? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And so we make this problem and then we fix it with the cable car. And it's just a little personal vehicle, two or one seater that goes on a cable. And that, I mean, that's really all the criteria there is. It has to roll on a cable.
Okay.
But we have to create this world around it and then solve the problem and create storyboards and create renders and do an exploded view render. And then all these different views, and then we end up making it in design foam. So it's a really dense, you can think of it as like really dense styrofoam, you know?
Okay.
And we build it half by half, and you just got to make sure it's symmetrical. And then we glue them together, prime it, paint it, and we have, there's a, like a hanger inside of it, and we actually roll them off the top of the student parking garage at the end of the year. They string a cable down, and we do races and stuff.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Well,
yeah.
How fun.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And when you say we, let's talk about the number of people that are in automotive design in your class at CCS. I mean, are we out the doors, or is there just a small amount of people?
It's a pretty small amount of people.
Is it? Okay.
I think right now we're at maybe 20 kids in my freshman year class.
Okay.
It probably started at about 28 or 29.
Okay.
And we've dropped those few.
Gotcha.
I think it's going to go down to 18 from what I've heard.
So
next year.
How long, is this a 4-year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a 4-year program.
Yep. And then once you're done, are you a certified auto designer? Is that?
Yeah. There's not really a certification for it.
Gotcha.
You get a portfolio is kind of the end goal.
Gotcha.
You get a portfolio and you get internship experience.
Gotcha.
And that's what CCS is great about too is, you know,
fitting you with
with a company beforehand, so you have all this experience and you have this good resume and this good portfolio to put out into the world.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
man alive, to be 20 again. Yeah. Nice. Okay, so well, and I think I maybe just asked this question. How many hours are needed to complete a degree? So obviously you just said 4 years, so we get that. So what careers are out there after you graduate? I mean, obviously you're going to be in the design side of things. I mean, is this pretty much they're always hiring type situation for General Motors, Stellantis at this point? I mean, of course you've got your European friends and your Asian friends, that obviously would welcome you. And a lot of that might be done here. I have no idea.
There's kind of a lot to it. There's a lot of opportunity after graduation for a lot of the car design, you know, students. Mm-hmm. There's a big kind of feed into GM and Ford right now from CCS because it's a, you know, Detroit school.
Well,
they go to Detroit companies and American companies.
Yep.
But there are a lot of students who have gone out to international businesses, you know, Toyota, Nissan, all these other places.
Yep.
And, I mean, the career will take you all over the world. I mean,
well, yeah,
you know,
right.
So it's a really cool deal. But even design as a whole, I know people who have gone through the school, CCS specifically, and gone out to be a designer at an automotive company. And then maybe 10, 15 years in, they want to change tracks. Maybe they want to make a design consultancy of their own.
Wow.
And they have all they have all the experience they need. You know, my teacher, Paul Schneider, he he keeps telling us, he's like, guys, if you can do this, you know, if you can tough it out for 4 years, you can do whatever design job you want. It doesn't have to be cars. You can do product, you could do interiors, you could do like anything, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So. And there, I mean, obviously there's, I mean, you know, when you think of car design, you're primarily thinking of the exterior of the car, but there's a lot going into the unibody or frames and there's a lot going into the interior and how things are ergonomically set up. So there's more to it than just, you know,
the body,
assuming that everything's going to fit in here. That's right. And so you mentioned obviously, Detroit, that's Motor City. How, I mean, living up there with all the gearheads and, you know, you got, Dearborn not too far, from the city where Ford is, I believe. And, and then you got the big General Motors towers, downtown. Where's Chrysler?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know it's in Detroit. It's downtown. Yeah. My teacher actually went there for a little visit the other day. So it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you where.
Well, Lee Iacocca has a fabulous story. So you need to read up on him for sure. That's right. But so, but you like Detroit?
I mean, Detroit's great. Yeah, I was a little nervous going into it. But yeah, no, it's, I've really warmed up to it. It's great. It's a great city. And there's always like car events there, you know, every other weekend, me and my buddies go out to Pontiac and there's a racetrack up there, you know, it's really cool. There's always stuff to do. So
Woodward Avenue.
Yeah. Ugh. I live on it pretty much. I mean, it's right
there.
Do
you really?
Yeah. It's a block away.
So do you know what Woodward Avenue is? Okay. So it's almost like taking our Hurstbourne Lane here in Louisville.
Yeah.
Wall to wall, all four lanes, nothing but muscle cars from yesteryear. And that's what Woodward Avenue is. I've been there one time, and I'll go ahead and admit, my boys were very young. They had to be in car seats, so we were in our minivan. It was a Nissan Quest. And what was funny is that if you got stopped at a light and you're in the parade of old cars, people would come out with their poster boards and say loser cruiser, and so we got loser cruisered a few times. So it is what it is,
right.
But fun stuff. That's all right. So let's talk about clay models. I know we've hit on some other things. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's really at the end of the day, do they still make a rendering of an actual two scale clay car that they end up, I guess, somehow
measuring out,
measuring out,
they do. And there are companies who prioritize that more than others, you know. Like I know GM, and I know Nissan now actually has gone back to the roots of like really, really hitting the clay models. But yeah, it's still a thing. I mean, and they teach that as a class. You can set up your education at CCS to become a clay modeler. In the industry. So it's pretty cool. We have there's a whole room on the 11th floor up there. Where it's just, they have reference images on the wall, and there's a teacher who was a modeler for however many years. And that's the curriculum, is they go in and they make it as accurate as they can. And then the student who designed the car, you know, it's a student design that they're modeling. They'll come in and they'll work with the designers, and it's fully realized by the end of the year. It's really cool.
Just curious. I mean, are any of these ideas that were sent to General Motors, Ford, or Stellantis, or whatever, saying, hey, you should have really seen this person's rendering of a clay model. You ought to look at this. I mean, I guess it could happen. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems like,
It does happen. There's these classes for the upperclassmen, and they're sponsored studios. So GM or Stellantis, we just had a GM sponsored studio class where they pay the students to come up with a prompted design, you know, and it's all, you know, under wraps the whole year. You know, it's not public information. And then at the very end, they present it to the CEO and the design head, GM, or whatever company sponsoring the studio class. And, you know, and then they give those designs to the company, and the company will choose one or two students to give internships to. And show. They get a lot of designs out to the field, and a lot of responses back from actual design heads at these places.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
Now, have you met any design gurus or chiefs or anything like that?
I was lucky enough to meet this man named John Perkins. He was the design head at GM for, I want to say, 15 or 20 years.
Do you know what era?
60s around.
Okay.
Yeah, wow, okay. 60s, gotcha. 70s. Actually, you know, I think it was probably mid-60s to the early 90s is what I I remember reading
that. All right, yep.
But yeah, he's a great dude. He gave me a lot of really good tips and tricks.
Sure.
I met him before the semester started, so I didn't really know the questions to ask, but it was still a great experience.
Well, yeah, to meet somebody who's been so influential into the card. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
All right, so you're designing a car, and you can make some improvements to today's cars. Mm. What would they be? I've got a list, but this is only a 30-minute podcast.
Just in general?
Yeah. What in general would you do differently, or would you add? Whether it's an exterior feature, an interior feature, a design feature. I mean,
I think the my mindset right now is I'm trying to train myself to look like way more into the future, like 5-10 years. So when I think of like, what do I want to see in the future? It's kind of inspired by what I've been seeing other people think the future is.
Yep.
And that's obviously like autonomous cars and, you know, electric vehicles, which I'm still learning to love. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely a musclehead kind of guy.
It's different for us.
Yeah. And so I think the concept's cool and stuff. There's a lot of design freedom mm-hmm. in an electric car, which is really cool. I've seen, you know, they just had this show out in Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Okay.
And a lot of cars unveiled, a lot of companies unveiled new cars there. And it's really interesting to see just how spacious and how comfortable all these new interiors are.
Gotcha. Yep.
And there's all these, you know, it's, since it's supposed to be autonomous and zero accidents and all this stuff, mm-hmm. these mm-hmm. ideas they're trying to promote.
Right.
They have these interiors where all the people are facing each other, or it's more of a living space instead of a interior of a car. It's, you know,
where everybody's facing forward.
Yeah,
it's more of a
they'll be facing each other, or they'll be like, you know, a table or a TV or, you know, whatever it is. You know, it's a living environment. You know, it's not an interior of a car anymore. So I'm, and kind of in response to your question, I'm excited to see where the interiors go, mm-hmm. you know, and how innovative that can become.
Sure.
I think that's a pretty interesting future.
Yeah. And fully so. I mean, I like driving.
I
don't like cars that steer me out of the lane with the lane departure warnings and all that good stuff. And I think it's great technology because it might have kept a lot of people safe.
That's true.
So there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, I just, you know, I like keeping my own car in my own road.
I know. I've got a lot of confliction with that too, because I love driving too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I don't really know if I really want to be sitting, you know, facing the backwards way.
Right. If you want to do that by yourself, was it the Mercury Colony? 1980s, remember those station wagons where you had the seats that were facing each other in the back?
Yeah.
And that was only Ford design, because General Motors, I think they were rear facing seats, but Ford had the where you could face each other in the back.
Yes.
Fun stuff, that's for sure.
Right.
What influence do you think AI will have or is having on auto design right now?
There's been a lot of influence on it in the last year and a half to 2 years, you know, especially. It's been taking off. There's a lot of people who are very against it, a lot of people who are very for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know where I stand yet. I haven't got the chance to experiment with it, you know, because we're still doing traditional work. It's not very easy to do AI stuff when you're working on a piece of paper.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I haven't really been able to experiment with it, but there are a lot of people who I've heard say, you know, it's great for ideation, and it's great for learning all the different variations of what your design could be.
Okay.
You know, so maybe you'll feed it a sketch, you know, and say, give me 300 variations of this, like slight variations. And then that designer could go through and just say, I like this, I don't like this, I like this, you know, which is crazy. It's really cool. It takes, you know, hours out of the workload. And I think it's good in terms of time saving. And I mean, the designs are probably great. I'm not sure. I haven't seen them. But it's just an interesting little, you know, a little new thing that's happening in the design world. And I mean, even moving away from sketching and ideation, it's also being used for rendering. There's this program that's very hot right now. It's called VizCom. And you could give it a line drawing, like just like 10 lines that just kind of give the body of a car. And it would totally render it out and totally make it photorealistic for you. It's really, really something.
Don't show me that because I'll end up right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. It totally empowers a lot of people to really get in there with their own ideas, you know, and even if they don't have classical training, it's interesting. It's really interesting.
I should say.
Yeah. And then what's kind of scary too is there are companies and there have been concept cars that are totally designed by AI, you know, that have taken the job kind of, which is a little scary. And it can go from, you just give it a prompt. You say, oh, I need a sedan set in 2030 to be a, you know, an inner city sedan. You know, you could just say give it that perimeter and it'll give you like 30, 40 different designs that look great. You know, I'm not going to lie. They look really good.
And it's all AI design from just a few
lines. Just from words. Yeah. And then you could put it in Viscom and it'll give you renders. And then, I mean, you could probably even ask it for blueprints and everything. I mean, you know.
Wow.
It's a little scary. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm kind of holding
cool
out.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, they're really cool. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. Another little conflicting thing for me.
But it's a nice tool to know that you've got this.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's going to become. I think it's going to be a tool. I don't think it'll be something that I should be scared of. I think it's. That's what my teachers keep saying. Right. They don't think it's going to take over or take the jobs or anything like that. It'll probably just become a tool, just like how Photoshop was when it first came out. People were scared of that, you know. So
sure. Well, you don't. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you don't want to take the human element out of.
Yeah.
Because every car we've seen has been somebody's ingenuity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's emotion. Like, of course. Yeah. There you go. That's exactly right. There's emotion to it, and there's a lot of skill set and a lot of
And there's personality that you. I mean. Robots can make a good-looking car, but, you know, there's something to, like, somebody putting their own personality and soul into a design.
That's right.
So I think that that's important.
Yep. All the tail fins you saw in the 50s were Harley Earl designs with the big fins and
that's
all that other good stuff.
To
yeah, right. I mean, yeah exactly. Let's see here. So what kind of research do you do prior to putting the pen to the paper?
Research.
So in other words, if somebody were to say, hey, I want you to design XYZ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously you're going to have to say, okay, well, is it, you know, are they looking for lightweight, sturdiness, you know, versatility, minor use, major, I mean, I guess.
Yeah. There's a whole kind of field of, you know, I guess it is research, that goes into it before you have to start it. And it's this idea of packaging, and that's what there's a whole class, you know, packaging human factors is it's a whole class up there.
Yep.
But it's learning what you're going to be designing around, because most times when somebody says design me a car, they don't mean you get a blank piece of paper. They mean you get the frame of a sedan built 10 years ago and you have to make it look good.
Gotcha.
You know, you have to revamp an old design, or you have to make a new car out of an existing frame, you know, something kind of like that. And so you have all these packaging restraints to begin with. And you have to design around that. So that's a pretty good chunk of the research. I'd say also, like, learning about what other vehicles and cars serve the purpose that they're requesting, you know, and then taking cues from that. And then, I mean, it kind of goes back to biomimicry again. If you need something that's extremely aerodynamic, you might look in the water, you know, or you might see, oh, what's the fastest fish? Or, like, you might look at a Pellegrine Falcon and say, okay, maybe I'll take some design cues from the head of a Pellegrine Falcon and... some design cues from a marlin, you know, or some other kind of fish. And that, I mean, that at least for me is a big chunk of the, of the research. Yeah.
Yeah. That's that is so cool.
Yeah.
So you've graduated, you're in design, you're doing great. How do you keep up with the technologies or any additional certifications that are going to be needed? Is that, I'm doing continuing education all the time, because I'm always constantly learning and trying to develop and you know, make things easier. So I'm assuming that, as you know, you're talking about the non-forward facing seats, and everybody kind of, I mean, you're going to have to be up to snuff with, you know, the comfort levels and how do you make them bigger or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know. I mean, but there's going to be technologies behind that. And I'm assuming that you'll have to
be aware of and, you know, learn about. I mean, there's always things that you have to be kind of on top of, and that was one of the things for me that I had to learn how to start doing when I went to CCS, was like how to be on top of the new technologies and how to be able to know kind of what everybody's putting out there, Because, I mean, you know, I've done it a few times so far where it's, I'll find some really cool bit of technology and I'm like, oh, that works perfectly for this
right.
project or this like idea that I have. And then, you know, you can implement it and then it's, and it works, but you just have to know about it. So it's this whole kind of monitoring thing that
sure.
you just kind of have to keep doing. And I mean,
that's right.
In terms of different like softwares and like tools, I guess, that keep coming out, from what I've heard from my other teachers who, you know, have been in the industry and they had to do that. They had to keep up with all this new technology as it came out. I honestly think it's just personal drive. You know, I mean, all these guys I have met, they're like, you can tell that it wasn't really like a chore for them. They were just like, oh man, this is cool.
Right.
And then they, you know, like I have a teacher who he's a 3D modeler kind of guy. And he, when those portable VR headsets came out, like the Quest and stuff, he, just jumped right on it. And, you know, he learned the, I think it's called Gravity Sketch. And it's just 3D design program. And he just jumped right in and learned it just because it was fun, you know.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it's personal interest and just kind of, you know, if you're really into it, you're going to be on top
oh,
of it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So,
and
yeah.
it sounds like you're really into it.
Yeah.
Which is, and I am too, and yeah. I'm not even doing it. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, here we are at our 32-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any last minute shout outs or anything else that you would like to add to this podcast? Because guess what? You're going to be coming back on here in about a year. We're going to resurface where we left off as far as what you learned and all that other good stuff. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really think I have any shout outs.
Okay.
I mean, shout out to CCS, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that's great.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. We're very proud of you.
Yeah.
Keep up
Thanks.
The great work.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly look forward to seeing some of your creative designs and all that other good stuff. So be sure
Thank
to share that with us.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn mom and dad's speakers on real quick. And this is a very fun and simple question. And I, you know what? We'll even start with Colby, mm-hmm. just so that you'll know what the question is. You guys ready for this? Well, they might have to use your microphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll just turn it over.
What car did you take your driver's test in? This is an Eric Benzel question that he would say, why didn't you ask him that question? So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was your old Hyundai, but what was that? It was
Tucson.
It was a Hyundai Tucson.
A Hyundai Tucson.
Yeah, kind of a mid-size SUV. It's, you know, smaller SUV.
Gotcha. Yeah, oh, yeah. I remember those. Absolutely.
You know,
so that was
not the craziest car, but
mine was a 1980 Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
So, Mindy, they're not going to be able to hear you on that microphone, but do you remember what you took your car test in?
It was my first car. It was a 1976 Cutlass Supreme.
See? There
Banana
you go.
Banana yellow.
Banana yellow.
Designed by John Parkins.
There we go. Two-door. Yeah, I remember. Absolutely.
That was it.
All right, Billy, you're up.
All right.
What was it?
I think it was a 1980-ish red... manual
right.
Volvo.
Probably a 240 DL.
Sounds familiar.
Kind of a boxy looking.
Oh, very boxy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'm actually after one of those cars. If you can find one, let me know.
I wrecked that one.
I got you. Well, and that's why you're still here talking about it, because those things are tanks, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Awesome. All right. Well, Colby, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening. And where can people find you on social media at this point?
Yeah. Well, I have an Instagram design account.
Okay.
It's called Masterson_designs.
Okay.
Just on Instagram, yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Awesome, awesome. And remember, you can find us on our Facebook page at the Classic Car Corner. Thanks for listening and happy motoring from your friends here at the Classic Car Corner podcast.
One hand on the wheel, pedal to the floor. Quarter mile suits my style. Give me just a little bit more. River upon ridge, cut her loose on green. Quarter mile suits my style. She's one hell of a machine. Old classic car on the corner. Lord, you make me cry. Wish you would let me be. Instead, you taunt me. Every time I walk by, old classic car on the corner, still calling my name, so it seems. But I can't afford you, so I'll just ignore you and
drive you in my dreams. I'll drive you in my dreams. Drive.